Welcome to the Technori Podcast. Welcome to a nice, I don't know, it's winter day. I don't even know anymore. I'm like totally lost. Here's what I do know. If you want to come on the show, we've got a ton of people who have messaged via email. They go through Propeller. They go through Walker Sands. They go through a lot of people. You can obviously DM on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that on at Katoon or at Technori. But I'm just going to tell you, here's the fastest way onto the show. Send us a box of food. It's really that simple. We've had, I don't even know. I got producer John sitting here. I'm not going to ask him, but the number is, we've got RX Bar. We've had Quavos. We've had tons of coffee, tons of booze, tons of Tavala, Farmer's Fridge. Pretty much anything in Chicago that makes food has been on this show because they are smart enough to know that all you need to do is send me food. In this particular guest case, sending a famous hockey player to send me food is an even better way. Brent Sopel, world championship winning Blackhawk, is part of the Jimmy Bars team, Chicago-based. They're in hundreds of locations. They are, I guess, they'll tell you. I don't need to tell you what Jim and Jason can tell you. But Jim Simon and Jason Wadler, the co-CEOs of Jimmy Bar, are going to be in the show, on the show, live to talk a little bit about, well, what differentiates Jimmy Bar from the rest of them? So I guess, why don't we just talk to Jim and Jason and figure out which is the best? So, you know, I was saying in the preamble, there's several ways to get onto the show. Most of the time it's through, you know, PR people or whatever else they email us. There is only one surefire way to get on the show, and that is to send food or booze. That is the key. You guys, Brent Sopel, who I want to know kind of the background of Jimmy Bar growing and, you know, who are the partners on the team and what kind of roles people have. But we got a, so I connected with him on LinkedIn, and then he was like, oh, you got to check this thing out. And literally like 2 days later, we came back to our office. I don't even know how he got our address, to be totally honest, because it was still it was our old address.
Right.
And yet somehow he found me. I got in there and I walk into my desk and there's the Jimmy Bars. And I'm like, well, this is a good start to the day.
There you go.
So you start passing it out to the team. And I just, in my mind, I'm like, what a, I guess, so I'll preface this by saying I grew up with the guys from RX Bar.
Yeah.
And they have their own kind of thing and their own kind of marketing, simple, no BS, that's the line. I thought it was like shades of the beginnings of RX Bar when I saw the Jimmy Box, because I was like, it's funny. It's got kind of a, I don't want to like minimalize it by saying cartoon, but it's got like kind of a fun, playful feel
kind
to it.
Kind of whimsical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whimsical. Perfect. And it was like, it's just so damn hard now to differentiate on the shelf that I was like, another bar. And when I saw the email from Brent, I was like, another bar, here we go. And then I saw it and tasted it. I was like, holy shit, this is like legit. So I actually have you guys sitting in here. Jim wore the actual Jimmy Bar peanut outfit into the show. He's sweating profusely, so you know he's thrilled about it. But tell us the story of Jimmy Bar and why it's named Jimmy and not Jason.
For a variety of reasons.
Exactly.
Jason, it just wouldn't work.
Jason. No. Well, yeah. I mean, you could put a mask on it. Yeah. It could be the Jason if you wanted to stay whimsy.
Actually, that's
it's
true.
Taken me about 40 years to live that down, but thanks for
bars for killers. Yeah, exactly.
Well, but it's a killer bar.
It's
really
a killer bar.
It's a killer bar.
So Jason and I have known each other since third grade, and we both were in digital for the past, you know, 15, 20 years. And I was doing corporate development and business development for a data management platform in Silicon Valley, which was winding down. We were about to get acquired, and so I was kind of thinking about what the next thing should be. And I didn't want to sell air again. You know, yep. In digital, you're selling air, right?
We talk about this all the time about how, like, some of the companies that come on the show, and, you know, I don't want to be a dick, so I'm like, it's great, you know, it's cool. And then they leave, and I'm like, how many times are we going to see another idea that comes through? And it's like, you don't actually have a product, do you? It's just right. Sort of like, I found a way to like shyster money out of people, and then
right. I'm pre-revenue.
Yeah. Really short story on this. So we do a bunch of, like, obviously when people come on, we try to make use of data.
Right.
And so, you know, I think we take pride in having a very good data sheet. We don't share it with people. It's just kind of our own, like, where our things are in Chicago. And I have a new investor, and he's got some people on his team who are not from the venture world. And so we sent the data sheet out. We had it categorized, and the pivots are going through. And I had this one area where it was blocked off. It said pre-revenue. He literally looks at it and goes, what the fuck is pre-revenue? We only count stuff that actually makes money. And he sent it back to me. I was like, well, I guess there's no such thing as pre-revenue.
In the same vein, it's kind of like, you know, after you've been through, you know, like a, you know, data management platform. Not the most exciting stuff. Really interesting if you geek out with it.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but it's not, you know, I remember, you know, going out when our office was in New York City, you get in the elevator, I'm like, what did I do today to help humanity? You know, I bought banner ads, I sold banner ads.
Yeah, so there's a lot of empty days.
A lot of empty days. So the next thing I wanted to do, a tangible product, right? And I wanted to do something that's good for the world. So, obesity and health disease is still the number one killer in America. We are the second heaviest nation. So we've got some weight problems, and people turn to natural foods. And so when you walk through Whole Foods or any really good grocery store, there's still a lot of crap.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to figure out who's telling the truth and who's not. And it's almost like politics, where you're watching Fox News and Obama's the devil. You turn on MSNBC and Obama's the greatest thing in the world. And like, who's telling the truth? Yep. And it shouldn't be that hard with food. There's been no innovation in food in the past 50 years that's been good for us. It's good for money.
We love outrage in this country. Doesn't really matter what side you are on, but nobody loves more drama than the United States of God bless this country, America.
No, it's true. And so you look at the food, you know, you look at some really interesting companies that have killed it, Vitamin Water. And I mean, there's tons of them. Do we really need vitamins in our water? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
I like the zero lemon one. I'm not going to bullshit you. It's tasty. I think it's poison, but it's tasty.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of products that are amazing at marketing, but the actual product, the company doesn't seem to be taking it that seriously. Jason and I are the opposite, where we don't take ourselves that serious, obviously.
But we take our product very seriously.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We take the product really seriously. So mandate number one, it's got to be low sugar. It's got to be high protein. And that took a couple years to figure out. So our first bar was a date-based bar, similar to like the Lara bar, some of the date bars out there. Really good.
But you can hear the crinkle of the package right now as I'm looking at the back of it.
Well, but it was higher in sugar.
I've got the Woke AF.
Do you know the reference?
Woke as fuck, I assume.
Yeah.
But take a look at the asterisks
on
the bottom.
Very aware of what is going in here. And apparently, what am I looking at? We woke and focused. Oh, it's woke and focused.
There's a funny story.
That's the Jimmy wink and a smile.
Yeah, I see
everything we do is a kind of a wink and a smile.
Yeah.
So that's a good example. So I wanted to come out. We sell to a lot of colleges. We're one of the top bars in colleges. But I wanted to come out with a bar with caffeine that helps brain health, equivalent to, again, with a wink and a smile, like an Adderall, right? Something that gets you very focused, can help your brain.
So is there a fish oil in this then? Is
there
that
is.
What?
Yeah.
So it's,
omega,
so it's MTC or MCT and omega.
Yeah.
Omega 3.
It's for a healthy bar. Try it. It's amazing. I think
you're ready to take that Pepsi challenge right here on the show.
Absolutely.
I guarantee it's the best bar you've ever had in your life.
All right. Here we go. I mean, I got to be honest. My RX guys, they load my whole shit up with it.
All right. Well, you're about to change your life forever. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Are you Instagramming this? I hope so. That is a tasty bar.
Yeah.
Damn.
That is really good.
Yeah. Isn't that good?
You would never know
how much protein's in there. And
it's 19 grams of protein, 6 grams of sugar. You'd never know it.
You know what it reminds me of? Is it whatchamacallit?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
it's got kind of the texture is really good.
It's not greasy. Because that's kind of what we modeled it at, like a healthy Rice Krispie treat almost.
So, sorry, Peter. I don't mean to shit on RX Bar for a second. I love RX Bar, but my complaint is, and you already hit on this, date-based. So some of them can be a little bit heavy, really hard to chew through, hard to eat, hard to whatever. I like it with certain flavors. Certain flavors, like that texture and heaviness, is fine. Other ones, it's not quite as much. This is a much more, tastes more like a brownie bar
than it does.
Decadent.
And I think the date, sorry, okay. The date-based bar, RX nailed it.
Yep.
Lara Bar nailed it. When we came out with ours, we thought that there are already a couple companies doing it really well. Let's attack something that's never been done, and that is the high protein, low sugar bar, which is mostly Quest. There's a few out there who are doing extremely well. They haven't nailed it on taste, at least to the consumer's mind. No one, you know, people were saying
that actually tastes good.
Yeah.
Taste as well as having ingredients that you feel good about eating.
Mm-hmm.
So not the poison.
Yeah. So like, and again, like on the taste here, it's interesting because, and there's still time on the show, so we'll know when I eat. Even just regular candy, which is all poison anyway. But when you eat some of the other bars, they taste good on the initial, like...
In the after is tough.
In the after is tough, or even in the middle of it, you start to get like a... I don't know what the right word is
chalk.
Yeah, it is like a chalk. There's kind of a metallic like rinse in your mouth.
Yeah, it's almost like you know, when you're a kid, you put a penny in your mouth and it's like,
correct. That, yes, that's a perfect. So like this. Now I don't know how long it's been, a minute or so since I took the last bite. There is nothing remaining in my mouth. Like it was sweet. It tasted sweet. It went down, and no kickback. So what would you say is, obviously you're not going to give away your secrets, although most of them are listed on the back of this. Right. What is it that enables you guys to make it kind of this way? And then let's talk a little bit more about like the, you know, honestly, the cost of having to do something like that and to be, you know, responsible is expensive. Right. And also, you know, one of the areas I think you guys, you kind of mentioned already, but like can dig in a little bit on is we live in a world where everybody wants, like, it's sort of this, like, everything's a diet now. Like every meal you eat is some sort of a diet. Right. And the problem that has come out of it is that you've got organic everything, and now organic, it actually doesn't mean organic. It's like, who's the more organic of the organics? Right. How do you just put your bar out there and be like, so we're clean, and this is we're redefining clean as in it's just not shit in there. So how do you compete?
I would say to take that last point first, which is one of the reasons why taste was so important is we were, and Jim, you know, can speak to this at the beginning of the brand, but it was about creating a bar that tasted great, that was also good for you, right? Which didn't exist, right? Where you're saying tasty as hell, but poison, this is the opposite of that in terms of it's really good for you and it tastes great.
No.
That is a disruption in the category that does not exist right now. There's very few, if any, that taste like this and are also good for you. And it's also part of having fun with the brand, where we were saying it's whimsical up front.
Yep.
We're trying to engage people. We're trying to make this an easy switch for them. So it's not like I'm going from eating my donut or whatever I may have in the morning to then something that tastes terrible. I'm not having fun. I'm not enjoying it. Then I won't be able to stick to what I'm eating. This way, if we're giving you a great experience, it tastes great and it's good for you, and it's an easy decision for you to make, an easy switch, then we've won the battle and we're helping people. And that's the mission of the company.
And also, if you look at the bar, not just bars, but just natural foods, they're pretty freaking serious.
Mm-hmm.
And
too serious.
Yeah. And if you look at a lot of the bars, are nitro, turbo, all this bullshit.
Yeah.
Those are usually the brands that are the worst.
Yes.
As far as ingredients go, because people are like, yeah, I got to have my nitro bar.
When is Frank Thomas going to come out with Nugenix? When is he going to come out with a Nugenix bar? Don't worry, she'll like it too. At some point here, it's just gotten to a point where I'm like, everything is a bar, which I actually want to ask you, because you guys would be perfect. This was a decision you had to come up with, or at least handle.
Yeah.
At what point, like I haven't sampled all of yours. I've had like two other flavors, the banana one, and this is the first time of this one. I'm sure the peanut butter one is amazing. To where you don't necessarily have to focus and compete on the natural, healthy bar skew, but can actually just be like a snack or just a cheat, like, you know, like I get a Snickers bar, like some of the stuff like this tastes good enough.
I think you
could absolutely, this could be like a healthy option cheat.
Exactly.
It's like I would call it a diet bar, but it's not a diet. It's just a good for you bar.
Right. You're not missing anything, right? You're not giving anything up to eat.
But what you're also getting is guarana seed. So guarana seed is a seed from Brazil, and it packs, I think, two or three times the caffeine that coffee beans do.
Well, that's great, as I just paired it with this.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be bouncing off the wall. Right. But it gives you this funky head buzz that you don't get from coffee. Coffee hits your heart. This hits your head. So if you ate the whole bar, you would be feeling pretty good.
So the next two shows are going to be the shit.
Oh yeah, you won't even remember them.
Yeah. All right, so we have a different area that we can sell. So all of your bars, you can sell them in completely different SKUs. This is an after party bar.
Yeah.
So like, I guess, you know, is that a decision that you guys, I'm sure you had to deal with? You know, you look at RX Bar. I thought when they came into it, they recognized kind of what you recognized and was like, you know what, there's so much shit here. Why don't we just no BS? We're going to run it right up the middle. Mm-hmm. We're going to go dates and simple, list everything. Yep. And they took on, in my opinion, I don't want to say protein bar, because it's not just that. It was a athletic, athlete, whatever bar. Right. Now at the acquisition from Kellogg, they're trying to peanut butter paste their way back into the system here. Right. You guys, I think, are right where you want to be kind of between the athletic bar, protein bar, and the you can be a consumer of any kind of thing.
Yeah.
How do you decide which track to go on? You know, is it sort of like music, where it's a slippery slope? You're either country or you're not. Like
sort of. I mean, there's low protein bars, which are like a Kind bar. There's medium, which is say RX, which is about 12 grams of protein. Then there's the high protein bars, which are 18 to 30 grams. And so we started off low. Yeah. And what we did was leapfrog over Medium because RX was doing a great job and there were other guys doing, you know, they were competing with Cliff, really.
Yep, Cliff, yeah.
So let those guys battle it out. And we thought there's a white space with high protein where all the high protein bars were shit. And all the ingredients, you need a, you know, a PhD in biochemistry to read. You literally cannot read the ingredients. And I had a funny, not an email fight, but an email fight back and forth with a buyer of one of the protein, like the high protein bar guy, companies. And she's, and it was this word with, you know, one of these words with like 14 consonants in it, one vowel, like XX, PPX. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And so she emailed me, she goes, it's not that bad for you. And I emailed, I'm like, it's got 16 letters, you know? I don't think God came up with any food with 16 letters. So 16 letters, she said, hold on. She comes back, she Googles it.
It's like number one cancer causer.
She said, it doesn't cause cancer. It's not that bad. I said, I think you're proving my point. If you have to Google the ingredients, it's probably not very good for you.
Yeah.
You know, eat a Jimmy bar. There's nothing in there that you haven't heard of before.
I love that. That's a smart place. So then let's talk about, you know, now you've launched it. You've got the Whimsical brand. How do you get this? You know, how many stores and things are you in with this? It sounded like a pretty good number. And where, you know, what's the growth model here?
So we've taken a different approach from day one. Jason and I said, okay, you know, again, being tech guys and not being CPG guys, we dipped our toe into grocery, and grocery is expensive. It's expensive. It's pay to play to get in, and the distributors, it's sort of pay to play to get in.
Screwed on the wall.
Yeah, right, you're gonna spend some money. We didn't want to go out and raise a lot of money. We call it keeping in the family.
Well, and you spent it all on the outfit. That's the problem.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, and the hair.
Well, yeah, so hair is nice.
So we're like, let's take a different approach. Let's go into technology companies. So Google, Facebook, Uber, LinkedIn. Actually, we're trying to get in Salesforce right now. Uber.
You should have no problem with Salesforce. The color is the same as theirs.
Yeah, exactly.
Should be a Salesforce bar.
That's what we hit up. That's what we hit up.
You need a Jimmy Marshmallow Cloud Bar. Take it to Salesforce. Nice. Call it the Salesforce bar. Done. They'll Mark Benioff is such an arrogant dude. He's brilliant. He'll buy the shit out of that and then he'll eat it.
Maybe
he'll
just buy the whole company.
He should just buy you guys and train you guys into the Salesforce of Jimmy Bars. It's your CRM Jimmy Bar.
Love it.
We were just out there last week. But we went into all the cafeterias because A, they buy in bulk, and B, they give it away for free because they want their employees eating healthy. So when you typically call on grocery, you're going to wait in line. They're going to hit up all the big guys first and see how much they'll pay. And for tech companies, they want the best stuff out there. And it's not the biggest brands. It's the coolest brands. It's brands like us that are making really interesting, innovative products. And so that's a big chunk of our business right now. And then we started going into colleges. I mean, with names like Woke AF, it's like, that's not real hard.
Yeah, it's a big good sell.
Now, who else is going to do a Woke AF bar? It's not going to be a big...
Yeah, no. Right. It's smart. I like your timing. How long have you guys been up and running now?
4 years.
Okay, so your timing couldn't be better as we kind of turned, even with this podcast and like any show, really. I mean, the first versions of my show, before even Technori brand, we wouldn't say any swear words or anything. And part of it was I was on WGN. I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's not sure. And now we've just sort of basically like ripped the roof off of it because this generation of people want real. They want genuine stuff. And I personally, I think the only reason, and you guys know this already, and why you walked away from the grocery store, it's basically like, and again, go back to digital ads. It's basically a point where you have enough money to have enough volume and bulk to shove shit down people's throats.
Right.
That's the only winner is there. The only other people who win are the hackers who come in with like, I found a really cool niche to get myself 100,000 users.
Right. And that's it. And to your point, the market that we're going after doesn't necessarily shop all the time.
No. And they don't shop while I walk through a store. Like, granted, I'm going to give them an F. Click at, or whatever it is, at Mariano's does not work at all. But we use it all the time because I'm so damn lazy that I don't want to walk through the store.
Yeah.
You're not even in there anyway, so it doesn't matter. But like my guy, TST, he's in there and like it's cool. But like as a young shopper.
Right. Now we do go in. We are in some grocery stores and we're picking where we want to be.
Yeah.
Right, so we're local in Jewel.
Whole Foods is a no-brainer for you guys.
Whole Foods is a no-brainer. There's a couple of others we'll go into because we do want to, you know, show that we can appeal to different segments. And, you know, we have right now 7 SKUs along with other versions of them that we're going out with, like you saw the Skinny Jimmy, which is an under 100 calorie snack. So we have different bars, and we're going to continue to innovate different products that we can hit different segments with.
So the last of this conversation I want to ask on the SKUs thing, I asked this of this is like the hot question for you. That I ask all of the, I want to just say food, but like, you know, you get it, the gist of where I'm going with this. Companies that come in here, and we've had some really good ones. I mean, some of the people who've come in, I legit, like we're talking $600-700 million acquisitions for almost all of them as a bar. The question that comes up is usually supply chain management. Mm-hmm. That's what tips them over. Some of the good ones, I'm not going to name names, but like you look at a lot of food delivery, food custom, the part that they screw up and eventually topple is that they don't get their SKUs right or they're not manageable. When you talk about it being able to create different SKUs, in my mind, I feel like you're at this pivotal thing where you can either go, we're going to pick our four and make sure we know it and we have a couple test SKUs you run, or you're like the Zara of bars and you sort of are constantly coming up with new SKUs and you try them and kill them.
Right.
What's the strategy on there, and how do you make sure that you don't burn too much money coming up with new SKUs, or is that part of the strategy? Does that make sense?
It goes two ways. So one is against cost management to make sure that we are being responsible against the way that we're creating new bars. But the other is to continue to have that innovation, because that is what gets us some traction in places we normally wouldn't get
it. Is it very expensive for you guys to come up with? Obviously, it costs money to come up with originally, but like, is it hard for you to go, we've got a new bar, we've tasted and tested it, we're going to run a new bar? Like, is it really expensive for you guys to throw another one out there?
It's time consuming. We have a partner company that my sister runs, and they come up with all the SKUs. And she's a classically trained chef, and her husband's a classically trained chef. He's got some unfair advantages. So I'll say, hey, what do you think about this flavor? It's got to be 19 to 20 grams of protein, blah, blah, blah. And they do it. But it takes a long time. The bar you just had took about 8 months to come up with. Okay. It's got to taste amazing, or we're not going to put it.
So it's very similar response to like my guy mentioned before, TST, Patrick Tanous. He came on the show the first time at like two flavors. Now he's like eight or whatever.
Yeah.
But it takes a long time, and he's like you. He sources everything from scratch.
Right.
So, I mean, you're paying for that.
But we print everything digitally. You know, that wrapper is digitally printed so that we can make tweaks.
Yep.
You know, we were the first guys. We're more on the side of innovation and moving quick. You know, if we
like
come
that.
Up with an idea, we could have something online certainly in about 30 days, which is crazy.
I don't want to play predictor, but I'm just going to say, like, my feel from listening to you guys is that you guys are going to do some pretty awesome things, that you're going to come back talking about acquisitions,
because
there's just certain companies that come in and they just know, it doesn't matter where they came from, they just know this as soon as they walk in, like, business is business. So I love what you're doing. We are going to do our final little fun segment here. We're going to bring in John. Producer Ron Jozen, John Rosen. If you guys don't mind, we got a new segment, right?
Yeah, we got a new segment for you guys this week. We're trying something new. It's called Business or Bust, where I give you guys a startup idea and y'all tell me if you'd back it as a business or if you bust it for being dumb as shit. So you guys are CEOs of a successful startup. I figured, hey, maybe you know a thing or two about a good idea.
Fire away.
Yeah, so the one we have for you this week, the idea is drone protection, where it's an app. Yeah, you can call in a drone to fly above you, record your surroundings, and follow you around dangerous places. So if you're in like a shitty area of the city, you pull out the app. There's like an insurance company or someone's going to put these drones in the accessible locations, and you wait for the drone to reach you, to fly above you, and record you and sort of your surroundings. It may deter criminals from like robbing you or someone like.
Will it protect you if you
like actually protect you?
Have guns on it?
Yeah, I was gonna say, does he have guns?
Well, maybe.
And does the gun have permits?
Maybe if
it just zooms in and gets all the angles,
so you can get a great video of just getting your ass kicked.
It's good for the nightly news.
Yeah, it's for better videos.
It's the revival of media.
Yeah, maybe with good funding, we could add weapons and tasers and stuff, like loud firecrackers to deter criminals. But
all right, I'm gonna tee this off.
Yeah.
And then leave it to you guys. I'm going to say I think this is going to have to be a bust on the actual, like, on it working out, or at least this person running it. But there's something there, because there's too many people who would benefit, Jeff Bezos style, from having drones in the air watching people. Right. It may not be a company that does a drone per you, but there'll be a block drone, like we have, like emergency call centers.
I agree.
It's not surveilling everything, but it's watching people as they walk through to make sure that, like, if shit goes weird, it comes down and hovers over you so that the cops can. Well,
and at this point in time, we're kind of in a heightened state of fear right now.
You would say so.
So I think something like this is opportunistic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's kind of a fun idea, but early, can I do a shameless Jimmy Bar plug right now?
Please.
We are actually flirting right now with drone delivery.
Oh, yeah?
In our neighborhood.
You could deliver to people that are about to get mugged.
Where
we could.
they need
the caffeine. A giant-ass Jimmy Bar drops on
you need
the
to drop a woke AF bar, and so all of a sudden their brain is like Superman style, and
Yeah, but around Fulton Market, we're going to be testing that spring, summer.
Pretty
sweet.
Cool.
Can you that market like Glen Ellen?
And sure, just drop some, that.
I live in Glen Ellen. You can just drop some bars right on me in the golf course or whatever and just done. Awesome.
Beautiful.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and just say on that one, I'm going to say bus because I just don't think it's there. But
the technology can be better.
It's intriguing. There's something there.
But cool idea.
Yeah. Very cool. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
See? First one nails it out of the park. Good stuff. Guys, I appreciate you guys coming in and spending the time with us on the show. I also, of course, appreciate the bars, which are, of course, delicious, and it's a cheap way for me to feed the team. And I absolutely love that you showed up in a Jimmy bar.
Who would do that?
Jimmy would do that.
Yeah,
Jimmy would do that. Where do people go to find the Jimmy bars nearest to them?
Every Walmart in America. Locally, Whole Foods, Jewel, bunch of 7-Elevens.
If they're flying, they're at Hudson News, all the major airports. Flying. And don't forget JimmyBars.com.
JimmyBars.com is these. Actually, we just launched.
Is that a big part for you guys, the e-commerce straight online?
It is.
It's
tracking pretty well now.
Very cool. I love it.
Yeah, double-digit percent of our business.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Cool,
make sure you guys come back on the show. Pretty much anytime you want, as long as you bring Jimmy Bars.
We absolutely will.
Done.
You can learn more, of course, anytime. You can learn more about upcoming Technori events, invest in investment opportunities. Check out the blog at technori.com. Download the podcast on Spotify. Follow us on social at Technori, or you can get in my life by following me at Katoon on Snapchat. Boom. That's a wrap.